to the extent any of these preferred alternatives impact existing planning we're doing, like I just use Sullivan's Gulch as an example, and then potentially changes our approach, increases our costs, I don't know, in some instances puts a hold until 2014 until there's clarity. I'd like to know what the impact is practically, because there are obviously parallel processes that at some point, if you're talking about protecting the right-of-way, could have a significant impact on some assumptions we're making about creating trails and other things. So that's number one. And number two, I thought I heard you saying in passing that it could terminate in the Rose Quarter.
A station. Options,
could be a station there.
Yeah. In addition to alignment options, part of the scoping process was to identify station areas, and it's not down to the specific site level, the property level, but an area of the community.
And I mean, we've postponed VMC now until March, but I seem to recall, Sam, in some prior planning process, someone had proposed using all or a portion of VMC as a terminal.
Not an individual in the community has. There are a number of schematics that show how a station not using VMC, how a station could be included in the Rose Quarter. A couple of different sort of very sketchy, I mean, sketch-like schematic stuff.
But in your opinion, the VMC, because of its where it's located or for whatever reason, would not be a candidate to have a portion of it be used as a station?
The portion piece you described leaves open the possibility of a portion of it. You know, if you remove the berm on the west side and, you know, you activate the lowest levels of VMC, depending on the requirements for a station, it could work. But because, and that's exactly the conversation that you rightfully have followed on with in terms of touching back to some of these other issues in play, like Sullivan's Gulch and VMC, is the reason to do this. And just so that future city councils have the conversation that you've just initiated, that's all we're asking for. Nothing we're doing to VMC precludes, because so much of it is just basic maintenance, precludes further councils deciding to repurpose it.
Okay, thank you.
Just to add a little something to that. So the lines that were shown on the map earlier are suggestions from individuals as well as the current alignment that the Cascade Intercity Passenger Rail uses. I guess we're fortunate for the state to have received this several million dollars in federal funds and to initiate this EIS, because we have not had the opportunity to really thoroughly analyze what the impacts are of some of the suggestions that have been made, including the suggestion that the intercity passenger rail stay on the east side and never cross the river. And if that were to happen, then the station would have to be in the Rose Quarter. But one of our staff members took the layout of Union Station and all of its tracks and all of its length, and to move all of that to the Rose Quarter would be a tremendous impact. So playing that out a little bit to see what the implications are is a lot of what ODOT will be doing as part of this effort. So it will be very beneficial to us over the months to see that how viable some of those alternatives really are.
Thank you.
And maybe I could add the Leadership Council is a group of largely elected representatives from all of the affected or potentially affected jurisdictions within the state of Oregon, which has been convened by ODOT. And that is a place Paul attends as PBOT staff, and that is a place where presumably a staff member of the next transportation commissioner or the transportation commissioner would attend as well. And that's going to be an important connection for the city of Portland to make, and make sure that these kinds of issues are front and center in the city's thinking as these alignments get narrowed down.
Additional council discussion, good discussion. All right, anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
Carla, can you please call the vote on the resolution?
Thank you, aye.
Fritz.
The resolution says that we will consider this as a reference document. It doesn't say that this is absolutely alignment, as was just discussed. So anybody interested, go to oregonpassengerrail.org and attend one of the open houses in January. Thank you for your work. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, this is exciting, and I appreciate all the work that's gone into this. And Catherine, it's great to hear you're at CH2M Hill. It's a great company.
Aye.
Adams.
Thank you to Paul Smith. Thank you to Catherine Charlo and the PBOC crew. Aye. All right. Can you please read the title and call the vote? Second reading, item number 1518.
Authorized contract with ACOM for design and construction support services for the Washington Park Reservoirs Improvements Project. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
No.
Fish?
I want to just acknowledge that this issue has generated a rather robust debate, and I appreciated last week's hearing. Had the opportunity to talk to the two folks who will be colleagues of ours for next year, and had a chance to talk to the sponsor and his team. And so I'm going to support this, and I just want to very briefly state why. I start with the premise that I think we all share, that we are and continue to be frustrated with a one-size-fits-all federal regulation that we've been bound by and have been unable to shake. But the hand that we've been dealt requires that we adhere to a schedule. That schedule was established in 2009, and we have to submit plans by 2016. So that, I think, is the framework that we have to begin with when we analyze this question. The second, then, is a series of questions I've asked. I got some answers on the record last week, which were very helpful, but I just want to highlight a couple more. The question important to me is this action consistent with our original 2009 schedule that we negotiated with the feds? And I'm satisfied that it is, and we are required to submit plans by 2016 construction to follow. Second question, I think this is very important in light of the timing of this action and some issues that have been raised in the community. Does our action today prevent a future council from either reviewing and changing our action, or does it in any way diminish our standing and our hand in continuing to seek relief from LT2? And I'm satisfied in both accounts the answer is no. And I'm reminded that we actually have gone through this once before, which was a number of years ago, where we agreed to support a ultraviolet treatment plant, which was required by a mandate, at the same time that we continued to seek a waiver, and we, in fact, we did seek a waiver. So that's, to me, the best evidence that complying with the schedule we've agreed to does not fatally undercut our argument that that we can continue to make to whomever that we seek relief from the regulation. The third question that's important to me is what's the impact on rates? And I think that is going to continue to be a very sharp issue of concern for this council going forward. And the information that I have is that from soup to nuts, over the next 7 years, this is projected to impact rates about 4.8%. That's built into the assumptions that we have. But this particular item, which is the design, not the build phase, will impact rates over the next 7 years at just about 1%. We can argue whether that's a big number or a small number, but I think in the context of all the other challenges we face, it's a fairly modest number. And then the final question that's important to me, again, to keep as many options open for future council and for thoughtful people that continue to debate this, because I, apart from the sides that are just fixed in their views, I still think there's a lot of room for honest debate about this. The last question of concern to me is, does our action today prevent us from, at some point, let's say next year, canceling this contract and going a different way? Are we obligating ourselves to a $15 million contract come hell or high water? And the answer I've received from the director of the Water Bureau is as a clear no, and that, in fact, at some point, the contract, like most contracts, can be terminated, although we will incur costs to that point. So when I consider all those factors and the very fruitful conversations I've had with my future colleagues, my current colleagues, and I've thought about the consistent actions we have taken as a council to move this ball forward while also seeking to challenge the rule, I actually think this vote has less drama than meets the eye, and therefore I vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I remain a
supporter of the of our compliance with the LT2 treatment rule as it applies to our reservoirs, Washington Park and Mount Tabor. And I believe our strategies are sound, but I am not persuaded that there's a reason that we should pass these two ordinances today when we have a new council coming into town in a few weeks. And I know there has been expressions of interest in letting some new folks have a new set of eyes on this. And I'm also afraid, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, with respect to the idea that we could pass this today and we have 30 days or we have a provision that we don't have to perform on the contract, I guess I'm just a little leery of clever lawyers somehow figuring out a city liability for a contract that we would enter into or approve today. So I think, with all due respect to Commissioner Leonard, Water Bureau, there's nothing that's pressing about passing these two contracts today. And therefore, I vote no.
Adams.
I think this ensures, as Commissioner Fish described very succinctly, I think this ensures a solid handoff to the next city council that will have a whole set of additional decisions to make, even if they don't, even if they do decide to open this back up. And I, for me, this is about making smart investments in a secure water supply for the city. So I vote aye. So approved. Can you please read the title and read the title for first hearing of a non-emergency ordinance? 1520.
Did you do 1519?
1519.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I skipped over that. Can you read the title and call the vote? Second reading, 1519.
Authorized contract with Cornforth Consultants, Inc. for geotechnical design services for the Washington Park Reservoirs Improvements Project. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
An additional concern I have is regarding the community benefits agreement and the fact that this contract, Tony, has 13% NWASB in it. So I vote no.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
No.
Adams?
Aye. It is approved. Please read the title for non-emergency ordinance item number 1520.
Replace the sewer user charges code for consistency of definitions, clarifications of terms, and addition of enforcement measures.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to have this returned to my office.
Right. I object.
Okay, we're going to read the sewer code.
I didn't recognize Commissioner Fish, so I'm not going to book his objection. Move back to Commissioner Saltzman's office for further work. And tomorrow, we're in recess till tomorrow at 2 p.m. Thank you all.